Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, those who listen to us on Radio 4, BBC 7, the Internet, and around the world, but also, most importantly, to welcome to the show four really fine, skilled exponents of this game who've come together to show their humorous skills and expertise and verbal dexterity as they speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Sue Perkins, and seated on my left, Tony Hawkes and Charles Collingwood. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me is Charlotte Davies, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the magnificent Theatre Royal in the heart of that fine city of Newcastle, in that great area of the British Isles, Tyneside. As we begin the show this week with Tony Hawkes. Tony, the subject is, oh dear, I'm nervous of this one, the chairman's best-kept secret. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
This was a very emotional moment for me a few years back when Nicholas took me aside just before a recording and said, Tony, I first met your mother 9 months before you were born. I was a little bit shocked. Sick, in fact.
Charles.
He hesitated before he said sick.
I know, he was so carried away with his humorous thoughts.
Yes.
And the devious thought.
Exactly.
Never met his mother. Do you think he looks a little bit like me?
Oh, come on, Dad, let me off.
Charles, you have a correct challenge, so you get a point for that. You take over the subject. There are 46 seconds available. The chairman's best-kept secret starting now.
Quite obviously, the chairman's best-kept secret is his secret of eternal youth.
Sue, challenge.
There was a slight hesitation.
Oh, no, there wasn't.
Emotion.
I think that was too sharp, Sue, so I will say that was an incorrect challenge. So, Charles, you have another point, and you have 40 seconds on the chairman's best-kept secret starting now.
Having seen his birth certificate, which is dated nearly 200 years ago, it is extraordinary that this gentleman still looks younger than the rest of us on this panel. Sue,
it's Paul, challenge.
I don't think Nicholas looks younger than Sue Perkins.
No.
Just coming to that, Sue Perkins accepted, I was about to say. But you interrupted because you just have to.
Yes.
Well, it was a correct challenge, Charles. Charles tried to justify it, but I think too late. So on this occasion, I give the benefit of the doubt to you. You have a point for that. 29 seconds. The chairman's best-kept secret starting now.
During the war, he worked as a prostitute in Dunkirk.
Sure. Did you say?
You know, the thing we don't talk about.
Oh, right. What's your challenge, Sue?
Well, hesitation. I thought he'd finished.
Yeah.
I've made my point.
I think he had.
Outrageous remark. I think you deserve to hesitate. So, Sue, you have a correct challenge. You take over the subject. The chairman's best-kept secret. 26 seconds, starting now.
Three Ways Nicky, they used to call him, as he regularly in a small skirt and high click-clack heels. Everybody loved a piece of him. To Bob, he'd scream, and they'd flock from here and everywhere. For a piece of the man...
Paul Challenge.
I just wanted to say, it's all true.
All true. And I'll tell you why it's true. Because I played Dame and Pantomime here when I was at Sunderland. So it's an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject. And you have 12 seconds, starting now.
What on earth is that accent? Let's muse on it for a second. Could it be Gateshead or Sunderland or a vague composite? It doesn't matter.
Tony Challenge.
Quite a lot of oars close together.
Yes,
there.
A lot of oars.
Yes, how ironic.
After the remark you made about me, very. Having all those oars there. Right, Tony. The chairman's best-kept secret, and there are 6 seconds, starting now.
The best-kept secret of Chairman Mao was that he was a huge cribbage fan. Every Thursday evening...
Nobody... In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Tony Hawks. And at the end of that round, they all have 2 points, except Paul, who only has one. And it's early days.
And he spoke the truth about what happened. Yeah. Sometimes just to be true doesn't get you points in this world.
I don't know what you're going on about. And Sue Perkins, will you take the next round? Oh, I think this is a local subject. Brown ale. Tell us something about brown ale in this game, Sue, starting now.
This exquisite nectar flows down the throat and immediately makes one want to rip clothes off, either oneself or another person in the nearby vicinity. This is witnessed late at night in Newcastle as women wander around with next to nothing, a couple of straps attached to gauze holding their enormous breasts in place. It is the quintessential drink of this county.
Charles Challenge.
Sorry, we've had three thises.
Okay.
Well, I am waxing lyrical about this beverage.
You had been, but I thought the wax had got a bit melty now.
No.
And, I mean, not two thises,
no,
three
the audience thises. Endorsed the fact that they love her quintessential waxing there. 36 seconds still available. Brown ale with you, Sue, starting now.
The bottle is adorned with a single blue star, which is nothing in comparison with the 50 of them you'll see later on as you lie in a gutter smelling your own urine. They support also the finest football team, Newcastle United, currently enjoying somewhat of a downturn of late due to poor management and Michael Owen, who is never match fit, it transpires. And guess what? If he ever goes to Liverpool, he'll spring back into action.
Yes, Charles.
She's no longer talking about brown ale.
They sponsor She's Newcastle United.
Just done 20 seconds on Michael Owen and people who've never going to
Yeah,
be
but
fit.
She did make the association between Newcastle United and Michael Owen played for Newcastle United and she was waxing lyrical about brown ale. Though there was some justification in your challenge, I have to give the benefit of the doubt to Sue Perkins and say, Sue, another point, and the subject still, 14 seconds, starting now.
Pierce the cap, throw it away, and drink deep on a liquid that can only taste like nectar, hospitals...
Paul's challenge.
I think we've had drink before.
Yes, you've had a drink before, yes.
I've had many drinks before.
I'm such a fan. But there we are. Well, with no drinks at all, you were really lyrical on that one. Well, hysterical on that one. Right, eight seconds, Paul, on brown ale, starting now.
They say to enjoy beer at its best, you should always consume it in the place where it's produced. For example, Guinness always tastes better...
Charles Challenge.
To always.
Yes, always. Yes. Always. Charles, you've got in at last... With 1 second to go. Brown ale starting now.
There is nothing in this world.
Charles, with other points, including one for speaking, as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's taken the lead, one ahead of Sue, and two ahead of Paul, and three ahead of Tony in that order. I don't know why I did that silly voice. I don't know. Right, Paul, it's your turn to start. A good plot. That's a nice subject. Talk on it if you can. 60 seconds starting now.
A good plot is essential to a story. The narrative twists and turns that take the reader, listener or viewer down a path one way, then perhaps another, until there's a denouement at the end that nobody could possibly have predicted. Alfred Hitchcock's films are noted for their famous plots. If we look at something like Psycho, it was absolutely revolutionary at the time to kill off the heroine 30 minutes into a film. And yet that's exactly what he did. And also we look at something like North by...
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of Look At.
Yes, and something as well. So, Tony.
Very good, though. Oh, he was on form. He was on fire, he was.
I know he was. You know, they're a very partisan audience. Mm. They go with the mood, and once they're with it, they don't want to lose the person. So, but Tony, you've got him with the correct challenge. Those are the rules of the game. 34 seconds available. A good plot starting now.
Five performers arrive in Newcastle for a long-running panel game. One is murdered after the show. The finger all points to the Admiral Collingwood, who had come back from the dead. But no, this would be a plot perhaps with some flaws, particularly since...
Charles Charles.
Sorry, but he said perhaps twice.
You did indeed, yes.
You said perhaps Admiral Collingwood and perhaps a flaw.
I should explain to our listeners that Tony was actually referring back to a previous time when we were here in Newcastle, and Admiral Collingwood was one of the subjects, and that's why he's reinduced it.
How did they know that, though?
Collingwood. Is he the homosexual?
It was just sort of northeast Tyneside empathy. They got the message there. So a good plot is with you, Charles, and 15 seconds available starting now.
I have to say that having been in the Archers a very long time, the one thing I yearn for as an actor is a good plot. It's quite dreary if I'm finding myself...
Still challenged.
How can you say that was the whole sausage factory? That went on for years.
How dare you call Siobhan a sausage factory?
So have you a challenge within the rules of just a minute?
No, just an unpleasant image in my head now.
Yes, so have I indeed. But Charles, it wasn't a correct challenge, so you have a point for that, and you have a good plot still, and there are 7 seconds starting now.
It's certainly not a good plot if the writers have just got you walking across a field of oilseed rape, looking at this corn...
So Charles Collingwood is living up to the reputation of his ancestors who came from this part of the world... And he's now in the lead, quite a strong lead, actually, ahead of Sue and Tony and Paul in that order. And, Tony, it's your turn to begin. A very topical subject for this part of the world, shipbuilding. A sad subject, too. There are 60 seconds starting now.
I don't know a huge amount about shipbuilding. In fact, this will surprise you, but I've built hardly any ships. When I was 14, I had a go at a 45-foot cabin cruiser, but then I had a table tennis tournament and had to stop. My brother built a minesweeper later that week, and he moved up to Newcastle, where there's a bit of a reputation for shipbuilding. It's difficult to say whether this area, Tyne and Wear, is better at building these things than...
Sue Challenge.
A reputation of building.
That's right.
Building twice.
You said building twice.
Yes, it's true. And the subject is shipbuilding, but yes. That's one word, unless I could try and pretend it was two words.
I know. Shipbuilding is spelt as one word.
Yes.
Sue, you have a correct challenge. You have shipbuilding and you have 33 seconds starting now.
I also know very little about shipbuilding, but imagine one of the founding principles is that it doesn't sink. Therefore, do not build any ships with holes in. Admiral Collingwood, obviously the famous admiral from these parts, knew all...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of admiral.
Yes, you had the admiral twice.
My God, you should walk the gangplank for that.
Well, you don't know the half of it, Nicholas.
Well, having an admiral twice, I think, is quite an experience. Paul, the correct challenge. 22 seconds on shipbuilding, starting now.
Beginning of the Falklands War, Elvis Costello wrote a beautiful song called Shipbuilding, which was sung by Robert Wyatt and was one of the year's unusual hits. There is something rather romantic, isn't there, about the whole idea of building a ship. To be able to travel across the water at speed, to visit foreign countries, and to come back and say, do you know where I've been? I've been Ubal.
And Tony, you cleverly got in with 2 seconds to go. Shipbuilding's back with you, starting now.
Gloria Hunniford once said...
This deviation is completely off the subject of shipbuilding.
Well, he only said 2 words.
Yeah, and neither of them...
And it could have well have been
exactly.
That she wanted to be in shipbuilding
She's
or she...
She's never built a ship, Gloria.
Exactly.
Never.
But she comes from Belfast, another shipbuilding area, so there's a connection.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Probably what he was going to say.
My
like
friend over here.
Lorraine are you his agent?
Kelly.
Are you his agent?
No.
Right. No, I am, and I'm all for it.
I'm always fair. He didn't have a chance to get a connection between Gloria Hunniford and shipbuilding, and I'm sure there was one coming up.
Oh, so, really?
Yes.
And the benefit Should we all of the... say names of personalities and then try and link them to the erstwhile shipbuilding industry?
Well, we've only got half a second to get a laugh on shipbuilding starting now.
Petula Clark.
Tony Hawks is then speaking as a whistle and gained that extra point, and he's equal with Paul in third place, which is unusual for both of them. They're one behind Sue Perkins, and she's about 4 behind Charles Collingwood. So, Charles, you're doing well, and you take the next subject, which is being an only child. I don't know whether you are or not, but we'll talk on that subject, 60 seconds, starting now.
It so happens that I am an only child. A child of the wartime, 1943, I was born, and my mother didn't have any more little babies after me. I don't care,
because I was a spoilt brat, and I loved all the toys and trinkets that Mummy and Daddy gave me all those years through my childhood.
So you challenged?
Repetition of all.
Oh, Peter. Shut up!
Oh, he's so upset. He was just about to get more sympathy for his... Well, not sympathy, actually. I just think aggravation of his child. Anyway, you had a correct challenge, Sue, and you had the subject of being an only child. 40 seconds available, starting now.
I was not an only child, but one of three, and the eldest. Therefore, I had all the responsibility and had to share everything, particularly at mealtimes, where my brother would put a fork into my hand.
Tony, why have you challenged?
Because she's talking about being a child of one of three, and I'm not interested. I only want to hear... I only want to learn about being an only child in this round.
Now, that's a difficult decision, isn't it? Because she did start off by saying...
If you're the eldest, you were an only child at one point.
Yeah. No, she was talking about
it.
Yes.
She was... I put it to you, Nico. She was about to tell us a story about what happened with her brother.
I put it to you.
Listen, stop arguing. She, you didn't give her a chance to go far enough.
Okay,
she did establish that she was not an only child and was on that particular tack. And there is a case of benefit of the doubt, because I think you have some justification, Tony, but I give the benefit of the doubt to Sue. You keep the subject, Sue. 33 seconds. Being an only child, starting now.
The first 3 years of my life were a wasteland. I didn't know what was
Charles
coming.
Repetition of three.
One of three.
Oh, Charles, you're listening well. 30 seconds. Tell us more about being an only child, starting now.
I wonder if in the audience there are many only children. Are there, I ask myself, and I'm not getting any hands put up. So obviously I'm the only child here.
Full challenge. Yes.
Oh. Is it the word only that's on the card?
I'm trying to think of something else, but I can't. So, yes, I was going to challenge for only, but of course...
I know, and only, yes. It was quite a subtle one of his part. Mm. And you did get lots of hands from the audience. One woman put up two hands. I don't understand.
Well, she was an only twin.
Yes. 21 seconds, Charles. Still with you on being an only child, starting now.
It's beginning to be a bit lonely being an only child up here, because in the end, I have to talk to myself and not to...
It's Paul Charles.
We had myself before. I asked myself...
Okay, yes, fair enough.
Yes, fair enough, yes. 14 seconds with you, Paul, being an only child, starting now.
Up to the age of 7, I was an only child. My sister Angela was born at that time, but I do remember those halcyon days and years when my mother looked at me as an absolute miracle of birth and used to give me dresses to wear, and I'd wonder...
And, Paul, it's your turn to begin, and the subject now is willpower. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
It's an essential ingredient if you want to succeed in show business, because when you start off early on, there's various setbacks, and it's not always easy to succeed in a particular branch of entertainment when other people are still trying to get to the same place as you. Willpower.
Tony Challenge.
I was deliberating for a long time there, but I think he said succeed twice.
You're right,
Three
Tony.
People agree with you.
And so, Tony, you have a correct challenge. You have willpower and 47 seconds starting now.
If you are determined enough, you can talk for 47 seconds on any subject that is given to you.
Paul, challenge.
No, not if you interrupt it.
Paul, you're quite right. But on
deviation.
The other...
You can't talk, you can't just do it, it's deviation, you see.
Yes, but on the other hand, the statement he's made is also correct.
Is it?
Yes, so it was a correct statement, but yours was a very interesting challenge. Mm. So we give you a bonus point for an interesting, clever interruption.
Thank you very much. Excellent chairman. Best chairman we've got.
And so, Tony, you get a point for being interrupted, and you keep willpower, and you have 42 seconds starting now.
Not that long ago, I watched the final of the French Open at Roland Garros. I was most impressed by Rafael Nadal's willpower. How he saw off Federer was quite an impressive in cheap...
A Sue challenge.
Slight hesitation.
Right. There was a slight hesitation of a Federer. Yes, 31 seconds. Willpower's with you, Sue, starting now.
I used to smoke many cigarettes a day and couldn't possibly give up through willpower alone, so enabled the assistance of a hypnotherapist who looked me square in the eyes, which were googly and a little bit like Car the Snake from the Jungle
Book. Charles challenged.
I think she was hesitating.
Yes,
then.
That googly was reinterpreted.
Well, I was in his spell.
Yeah. The hypnosis.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you're going to be in mine now for a few seconds.
But you can't go into a hypnotic spell in order to carry on playing Just a Minute or Two.
So one of the rules that doesn't actually get announced at the beginning, yeah. But no going into a hypnotic spell.
Well, I have to tell you, I have to be hypnotised before I can do this show.
We interpret that as hesitation. So willpower is with you, Charles, starting now.
I have enormous willpower. None of you in this room can understand the control I exert upon myself in having...
Sue, Charles.
It's like hesitation there. If I was a self.
How could you?
I'm dying to know what he's stopping himself from doing.
Yeah. Will he make it a chance to find out?
You're going to find out, because I don't think he really hesitated enough to call it a penalty within the rules of Just a Minute. So, benefit of that on this occasion to Charles. Keeps the subject, willpower, 11 seconds, starting now.
Willpower was a little spotty boy who lived in my street when I was a tiny child in Hampshire. And he got this tube of Valderma and squirted them all over his face. And do you know those little pumps? Or
Paul Challenge.
A repetition of little.
There was too many littles.
All right, sorry about that.
So, Paul, you got in with half a second to go. On willpower, starting now.
Swarfiga!
So, Charles, Paul Burton was speaking then with Sir Whistlewind. He's moved forward. He's now in second place. He's behind Charles Collingwood, who's in the lead. And we're moving into the final round, I'm sad to say. And in third place, equal are Sue and Tony Hawks. Sue, not Sue and Tony Hawks. I'm sorry. Sue Perkins and Tony Hawks. They're not married yet. After playing this game for this length of time, you get hysterical sometimes. And I was absolutely out of
the... We've had a lot of weddings over the years, Nicholas, in the programme. With
it could be the first Just a Minute wedding.
This could be rather a moment
Look,
tonight.
My name may be Parsons, but I don't marry people.
That's a lot of problems with the vows, though, with repetition.
I only really came on this show to meet people.
But look at all these lovely Geordies you met tonight. Yes.
Right.
So that's the situation as we move into the final round. And Tony Hawks, it's your turn to begin. So will you take How to Survive a Stag Night? I think that's a very good subject, starting now.
I imagine it's a very difficult thing to survive in a real fit state, because they do insist on pouring alcohol down your neck. I once went to one, announced I was only going to have herbal tea. Didn't...
Paul Challenge.
I think they pour alcohol down your throat.
What did he say?
Down your neck. That's the outside, isn't it?
Paul, you have the benefit of the doubt. 48 seconds. How to survive a stag night, starting now.
Get someone to pour drink down your neck. It's the only way, because then you don't get it in your throat.
He can't get a point to get the subject from him saying, and then make a joke out of down your neck. He can't do that.
Can.
It wouldn't be fair.
Yes, it's,
this audience is so sweet, and they can't bear that.
But he was not saying you pour a drink down your neck there. Conveying that he was imbibing it. He just said, pour a drink down your neck, which is quite a different image,
isn't
it?
All right, Nicholas, but I was revolted by the whole thing.
That's no reason to challenge. You can't challenge for revolting in this
game. I've come a hell of a long way for this evening, you know. And,
Hampshire,
if you're going to lose control at this hour, I don't know what the point is.
You're still in the lead, Charles. Don't worry.
I've never been in the lead.
I know you've never been in the lead.
Have you never won?
No!
Never won. He's never been in the lead. Keep your
so
cool
interested.
And you'll probably be okay.
How many points is in your head at the moment?
Shut up!
45 seconds with you, Paul, starting now.
Rutting on the moors late at night, you suddenly feel an antler poking behind your back and you turn around and you wonder who is there and you see the face of some old deer. And when I say that... A little old lady does the shopping on a Wednesday.
So
no! What happened then?
Too old. The old lady and the old thing,
yeah.
Right? So, Sue, you got in on the subject with 29 seconds, How to Survive a Stag Night, starting now.
Best thing to do is strip yourself naked and tie oneself to a tree.
Paul Jones.
Hesitation.
No.
Tie.
She goes at a hell of a lick, you know, sometimes.
That's how I came to be Mrs. Tony Hawks.
Married by Nicholas Parsons, right. No, as space she goes, you couldn't interpret that as hesitation. Okay. So, benefit of the doubt to Sue on this occasion. Keeps the subject, 26 seconds, how to survive a stag night, starting now.
As the antlers prod into your back, you turn round...
Charles, challenge.
Well, repetition of antlers, because he said antlers.
I didn't.
No, she didn't.
No, but Paul did. It's a rep...
No, she can't.
Can you say the same word in the whole thing?
No.
Oh, darling. I want her to win so much.
I know, but you've played the game enough. It's only the person who's speaking can't repeat the word.
You could
take anybody else's material and repeat it ad lib if you wanted to.
Just overexcited, sorry.
I know you're overexcited. So, Sue... 24 seconds, Sue. You have another point. Sue, win at this rate. 24 seconds. How to survive a stag night, starting now.
Imagine an army of lads down the town. Of course you can. You're from Newcastle. Every Saturday, a huge phalanx of men with T-shirts bearing the legend Newcastle Brown Ale storm the streets with flags, banners waving.
Tony challenged.
I think she said Newcastle twice.
Yes.
She said, you're from Newcastle, and then she said, of course you can, you're from Newcastle. And Newcastle Brown.
So, we're going to hear from everybody on this subject.
Let's hear about your stag.
11 seconds are still available for How to Survive a Stag Night with you, Tony, starting now.
The old deer is behind you, and the stag rots in front of you wherever you are.
Sue challenge.
Was there slight hesitation?
No, Tony, another point.
I don't be worried about repeats in the BBC, but didn't I just say all that?
You may have said it, but he's allowed
He's nicking my material.
I know. You can do that in this game.
Can
no
you?
No one's ever bothered challenge for it.
Really?
Yes.
Terrible
chair. It's not as easy as that. Tony, another point and 5 seconds ago, starting now.
One terrific way to survive a stag night is to take oxygen. Strap it to your back, get it over your nose, and then if anybody tries...
Tony Hawks is then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, with some slight interpretation of the rules on the last round from the chairman. I managed to engineer a situation at the end which is so eminently fair, because they're all so good at playing the game, that we have equal in second place, three people, Paul Merton, Tony Hawks and Sue Perkins, all equal. And only 1 point ahead, Charles Collingwood. So we say, Charles. So what could be fairer that they all play the game so well and so keenly and with such vivacity and such erudition? But it only remains for me to say thank you on behalf of these four lovely people here, Paul Merton, Sue Perkins, Tony Hawks and Charles Collingwood. And I say thank you to our lovely whistleblower who's helped me with the score as well, that is Charlotte Davis. We thank our producer-director, who is Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this lovely game. And we're deeply indebted to this lovely audience here at the beautiful Theatre Royal in Newcastle, who've cheered us on our way with passion and Tyneside fervour. Thank you very much. Don't forget to tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute.